Yeah, I'm George. I'm an alcoholic. Thanks, Paulie. No matter how long you've been sober and how many times you've done this, you still get the gut feeling every day. I wish you called me at like 10 minutes of five and speak instead of yesterday, a little before, a little after, a little during. I grew up in a good home. I had good parents. My dad was a drunk, great guy. Died very young, directly related to alcoholism. All bets were off after my dad died. Me and my mother butted heads and, I don't know. I had my first drink. We used to go to my grandparents every Sunday, and my grandfather would give me a mouthful of beer. And, I always wanted another one. You know how that goes. And, I went to Catholic school. I was an altar boy. I played down the park, baseball with all the kids. And, it was a pretty much regular life back then. And, we used to all work at the church, and it was a good time growing up. And I used to spend a lot of time with my father, and he was always drinking, and I'd sit in the car when I'd go in the bar room, and I'd be looking at the bar room door waiting for him to come out, and and then we'd go up the street to the next one, and I didn't have a clue, my dad took good care of me. And like I said, me and my mom butted heads, and, in a handicapped system, my mother took care of her. And so, she really, all her focus was on my sister, and, and I hung out with my dad. Anyway, I got thrown out of Catholic school in the fifth grade, and I ended up in a public school, and all my friends were there. And, I was ashamed because I got thrown out of school, like it was a big deal or something back then. And, that was in elementary school. I went to middle school, and everybody was down the street smoking weed. And, I always said, I knew about weed. It was like in the late 60s, early 70s. And, I knew about weed and drugs, and, I didn't want to become an addict. And, within a couple of weeks, I was smoking pot on a daily basis at 14, 15 years old. And I did till the day I got sober. And, I had my first drink. We stole a case of Fleischmann's whiskey off the back of a delivery truck. And I grew up in Danvers, and there used to be a lot of package stores and a lot of bars in Danvers Square. And we stole a case of Fleischmann's, and we gave a bunch out. We sold some, and, we thought we were cool, and we kept a bottle, and we planned it. We're going to go down the tracks, a whole bunch of us. We're going to drink this quart of whiskey. And, I remember guzzling, it burned. It was like, well, who would want to do this? You know what I mean? But it was all about effect and, being cool. And, I can't tell you what happened that night. They rang the doorbell, and I was covered in vomit, and they all ran, and that was that's about as good as it ever got for me. Booze didn't work for me from day one, I was in trouble with booze right off the bat. I was grounded. I was 14 years old, I think. I was grounded. Worst hangover I ever had in my life. And, I never drank whiskey again. A month later, I got out. I learned how to drink, even though, like, every time I drank, something happened. And, I was always looking for the perfect mix, if I hadn't smoked the first joint, if I hadn't smoked the last joint, if I'd only done two hits of acid, because everybody was doing acid back then, and doing mescaline, and, it was all, you never knew. You put a drink in me, and, like, I was off and running, and you never knew. Like, it was jail, PC, assaults, fights, car crashes. Everything that happens to someone who drank a drug like I did. I got in a car accident, and I was, at that time, I think I was 17 or 18. My dad had died, and my poor mother, she was a wreck all the time. Like, I'd go out on Thursday night and she wouldn't see me till Sunday, and she'd be sitting there doing the rosaries, and and she couldn't get a hold of me. There was no cell phones, no beepers, no nothing. She never knew where I was. I was on a run, and I'd come home like a broken dog on Sunday, and like, I'd be all banged up, and she'd be yelling and screaming at me, and I'd just go in my room and I'd pass out until Monday when I had to go back to school. And that was about the best it ever got. Like, I had a lot of fun with booze, all my friends, and everybody was into something, and a bunch of them were shooting heroin, and like, it was all the stuff that I said I'd never do, that like, but you put a drink of booze in me and you just never knew, like, I was never going to smoke pot. I was never going to do acid. And I was never going to eat pills. And I got in a bad car accident, and we should all been killed, and booze related. And, I got out of the car, and I was introduced to Percodans. I had broken ribs, a headache, concussion, and lacerations all over me. And, I was introduced to perks, and like, I took like, said take one every 4 hours. Like, I took four and drank a six pack and smoked the bone. And like, God, it appeared in my life. I found the mix. It was like, here I am. And, you know how long that lasted. I chased that for, I was making doctors, if you were having your teeth pulled, like, I was giving you a ride, I'd pay for the script at the doctors to get your perks. I mean, like, that was my life. It became my life. And I thought I was having fun, it's all about having fun, having a good time. My mother used to call me Good Time Charlie, whoever the hell that was, one night I was drunk and I couldn't get any pills, and they were all doing heroin, and I did heroin, and like, it was like, that was the start, what I mean? It's like, oh my God, here we go, another run on something else, like, everything I did was to the max, I did everything full throttle all the time. I was constantly wrecking cars, constantly spending the night in jail. I became a liar, a thief, a cheat, a con, all that good stuff, I went into my first detox in 1980. I went to my first meeting in 1984, and I smoked a bone before I went. A buddy of mine, Mac, brought me there, and it was young people's on Saturday night in Salem, and it just wasn't for me. It was good for him. He was definitely a drunk, but I wasn't there. And, my life was getting to be unmanageable at that point. And, I kept on struggling through life at that time. And I went into, I was kind of unemployable. I was working for people who paid me cash at the end of the day so I could do what I had to do. I moved in with a girl, and, I tortured that poor girl. I'm married to her today, but, and we're good friends. So, I tortured her, and, stealing checks from the bottom of her checkbook, and, she'd go to work, and I'd say I was going to work and I'd never go. And, she'd go to work, I'd sneak back in the house, and, I was out of control. And so 1986, I went into my first detox, and, I brought a little bit of weed with me. I had a good drug habit going at the time. And, I smoked weed the whole time I was in a detox. There was someone there who wanted to get stoned with me. So it all worked. And, I went there for all the wrong reasons. It was just to get my mother off my back and get my girlfriend off my back. And, I didn't have a lot of friends at this time in my life. I was a disaster. And, I get out, and I was introduced to AA. I didn't know, I couldn't identify with being a drug addict. I couldn't identify with being a drunk. I couldn't take a look at my life. I still couldn't see it, because I had no, no clarity in my head, you know, for 28 days. So it was 28 days, and at 27, I was ready to run. I wanted out of that place, you know. So I never got sober that time. And, you know, I got out of there, and I started going to meetings, you know, just to get the heat off, you know. Like, my mother had changed the locks in the house, and, you know, she'd sit on her pocketbook when I'd walk in the house, you know, she had a burglar alarm put on. You know, it was just like, what a wonderful child I was at the time. And, you know, my girlfriend says, you know, you got to straighten out, or you're going to have to leave. I was living in her house, and, you know, I was the thing that wouldn't leave. And, you know, she'd throw me out, and as soon as she'd leave, I'd go back. You know, it was horrendous. She'd go to bed, I'd come in, I'd walk in the house, you know, whatever. And it just kept getting worse. But I was introduced to AA the first time, and I went to meetings, you know. I went to meetings for like 2.5 years, and I couldn't get sober. You know, I found myself stealing cartons of cigarettes out of a grocery store in Revere, and you know, I was 34 years old, and like, I'm stealing cigarettes, you know. You know, I was a complete thief. I was a off the charts thief. And anyway, I went to a meeting, and I ran into Larry Morrison, and Lance was there. There was a whole bunch of people there. Ronnie was there, and Jimmy, and you know, it was St. Mary's on Monday night, downstairs in St. Mary's School. And you know, and those, all I used to go to all these meetings where it was dark, or they served food, and you know, just, you know, whatever. And you know, I must have heard something in them 2.5 years ago in the meetings every day, because I was praying a lot. I didn't lost my faith, you know. I still believe in God, and you know, I went to that meeting, and Larry says, "George, when are you going to give this thing up?" I said, "Larry, I'm doing fine, you know, I'm doing fine." He says, "Oh, yeah, you look it," he says. It was a couple days after Christmas in 1988, and I, you know, I was broken, you know, the worst Christmas I ever had in my life, and I'll never forget it, you know what I mean? I felt like a piece of shit. I was a piece of shit. And, you know, I went to this meeting, and Larry said that to me, and he says, when are you going to give it up? You know, and I said, after the new year. And he started laughing, and you know, anyway, everybody knows Larry. And, you know, and I walked away, and you know, I went home that night. And the next day I called that detox I went to the first time, and they said they had a bed. And they said, if you can get here today, you can, you know, we'll take you. You know, so I got someone to give me a ride up to Dover, New Hampshire, and Seaborne Hospital was the name of the place. And I went in there, and like, I went there this time, not for my girlfriend, not for my mother. You know, I couldn't do it no more. I was drunk, the hole in the heart, and crying all the time, and not knowing what was wrong. And, you know, that empty feeling that, you know, I've heard described in Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, I went in there, and I didn't want to leave. You know, they said, "You got to go." And I'm like, I don't want to go. I was scared, you know. I was afraid I was going to pick up a drink and I was going to be gone again, you know. And, you know, like I said, every time I picked up a drink, you just never knew. You know, it was, you know, looking back today, you know, back then it was just fun. It was like, what did you do last night, George? You know what I mean? It was like one of them deals. And anyway, I had to go. And a buddy of mine picked me up and went right to the Greycroft. It was a Friday afternoon. And right to the Greycroft for the 4 o'clock meeting, the 4:30 meeting. And, you know, I joined the Greycroft that day. You know, you got your key and you could go there anytime. And I lived in AA. Tons of meetings. You know, I got a good foundation in AA. I lived in AA. I didn't have a job. My girlfriend would give me a couple dollars every day, you know, 25 cents in the basket and a pack of cigarettes. And I'd drink coffee all day, you know, and I'd go home and I couldn't figure out why I couldn't sleep. You know what I mean? Coffee and sugar and cream and like couldn't sleep and out of my friggin' mind. And stock raving sober, you know, and I hooked up with a bunch of guys, and they would do commitments, and I'd go, you know, get in the back, George, shut up, you got nothing to offer. You know what I mean? It was great back then. It was really the way I needed to get sober. You know, all these guys took care of me. You know, I was on a meeting last night. We were talking about this subject. You know, was the way these guys took care of me. I had no money. You know, I got hooked up with Lester, and me and Peter Perfect were working for Lester, and you know, we'd do a morning meet, and we'd go to work. Then we'd have a noontime meeting, and then I was with Peter all the time. You know what I mean? Like, you know, a lot of people didn't like Peter, but he was like real good to me. You know, he didn't give me any of his fucking bullshit. You know, it was like he was just good to me. You know, and you know, days turned into weeks, and weeks into months. You know, they were doing jail commitments, they were doing detox commitments. They were members of a group, you know. They said, George, you need to get active. You become the secretary. Then I was the treasurer. I was like, wow, they're going to let me handle the money. Like, you know, I was actually being trusted now. You know, I got in the middle of AA. You know, they told me, get in the middle and you won't fall off the edge. And like, I got that. I understand that today. You know, I got a great life today. You know, I've done a lot of stupid things in sobriety and, but I haven't picked up a drink. Like, you know, I wanted to like do the steps. I wanted to read the big book. I wanted to do this. I wanted to do that. Some old timer, Gil, grabbed me one night. And he says, George, all you got to do is not drink. Don't drink and you'll be all right. Your life will be okay. You know, and I used to talk to Gil a lot because, Gil's son was a friend of mine. I grew up with him, and Billy had died, and you know, he couldn't get sober. And Gil used to say, "George, meetings are the medicine. You know, you wanna feel good, you come to AA. You wanna feel like a piece of shit, don't come." He says, "But there's a good chance you might pick up a drink." You know, he says, "People who don't come to meetings tend to pick up a drink." He says that's what happens. He said, and he was a, you know, he'd learned from experience himself. And he said, don't do it the way I did it, you know? And Gil was real good to me. You know, I listened to him and he was good to me. And, you know, we used to hang around Ronnie's repair shop, and like, there'd be a whole bunch of us there at 4:30 in the afternoon. And like, there'd be an AA meeting there all the time. You know, I hooked up with Jimbo. You know, Jimbo's one of my best friends. And, you know, we've lived together and like we've done, you know, we've ridden motorcycles together. We've gone away together. We've done a lot of shit together. And like, we stayed sober, you know, crazy, crazy shit, but we stayed sober. You know, we didn't drink, you know, and that's all they told me. Like, the only thing you got to worry about is not drinking. My life today is real good. You know, my mom passed away a few years ago, and like I said, you know, me and my mom butted heads, but you know, she knew that like I could take care of my sister, you know, and my sister just died a few months ago from COVID. And, you know, like, I was there, you know, I was able to show up, you know, my mother trusted me enough now, you know, that knew when she left, she knew that I was going to take care of my sister, you know, and I did to the best of my ability, you know, and, you know, I got two kids, you know, one's got what I got. I call him Junior because he's just like me, you know. He's got all the answers and doesn't know shit. And, you know, it's hard to watch, and I'm powerless over what he does. And, you know, it eats me up some days, but I got a lot of good friends in AA today, you know, people I bounce shit off of. I had surgery on my foot last week, and I was all worried about the pills, you know. My buddy Gordon's on here, and I was talking to him about, you know, what about the pills? And he says, just don't take them, you know. I mean, I go home, they give me 30 pills. I'm like, I don't even want them, you know. So, I that was 2 weeks of torture in my own head, you know. But, you know, I don't take pills. I hate them. I'm scared to death of them. I'm so afraid, like, if I pick up a pill or a drink or a joint, like, I'm gone. You know, I got too much to live for today, you know. You know, I love my kids, and like, I'm powerless over what they do, you know, and that's acceptance of it all, you know. So, I'm all set, Paulie. Thanks for listening to me, you guys.